Be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went away quickly from the tomb, fearful yet overjoyed, and ran to announce the news to his disciples. And behold, Jesus met them on their way and greeted them. They approached, embraced his feet, and did him homage. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me." While they were going, some of the guard went into the city and told the chief priests all that had happened. The chief priests assembled with the elders and took counsel. Then they gave a large sum of money to the soldiers, telling them, "You are to say, 'His disciples came by night and stole him while we were asleep.' And if this gets to the ears of the governor, we will satisfy him and keep you out of trouble." The soldiers took the money and did as they were instructed, and the story has circulated among the Jews to the present day. The Gospel of the Lord. Once again, happy Easter to all of you. The joy of the Lord's resurrection continues to overspill in this next few days. The church could not contain her joy over the triumph of her Lord, and that's why we keep this octave of Easter. There are a few things that we need to remind ourselves when we consider the resurrection of the Lord. The resurrection of the Lord belongs to Christ. There might be other people coming back from the dead in the New Testament, but those are not resurrection. The son of the widow of Nain, Lazarus coming from the dead, who else? The daughter of Jairus, those are not resurrection. Those are resuscitation for the simple reason that they died again. Jesus, once raised from the dead, will not die again. He lives forever. The resurrection of Jesus is also our resurrection. That's the good news. We will not die like Lazarus. We will not die like the daughter of Jairus. We will not die again like Lazarus, Jairus, and the son of the widow of Nain. When we rise again, we will rise again like Jesus, and our body will be like unto his. You know, plenty of times in our circles, I think I mentioned this to you plenty of times, when we comfort each other at the moment of the funeral, plenty of us will say, "Don't worry. Your son or your daughter or your loved one is now an angel of God." That's wrong. You don't comfort each other telling each other that the deceased loved one is now an angel of God. No. Don't look to the angels as your model. Our model is the risen body of Jesus. That's what we'll be looking like when we get to heaven. Because angels have no bodies. They're pure spirits. They are a class, a species unto themselves. We are humans. And so when we rise again, when we make it to heaven one day, we will be like Jesus risen from the dead. We will have our bodies, as you can see in our readings in the future days, some Sundays, Jesus will say, "Touch me, Thomas. Touch me and know that a ghost or a spirit does not have flesh and bone." We can be touched because we're humans in heaven. We will not be like angels. All right. Now going to this, to the Gospel of Matthew, those who are witnesses to the resurrection are just agog. They cannot make heads or tails with what is happening, and for good reason, because the resurrection, we do not have a category for the resurrection. You know, in our world, bound by space and time, for every word, every concept, we have a specific category. So you say something like, I don't know, Holy Family Church. Well, you have an idea. You have a category. You can flip through the files of your mind and say, okay, Holy Catholic Church. Oh, it's a church in South Pasadena. It's a church where Father Ricky is the pastor. We have all of these categories for a Holy Family, but not resurrection. We don't have that is why the people here are so confused. They're running about trying to make sense of this new creation that has entered the world. Someone rose from the dead and will not rise again, in apparently defying the laws of physics. That is creation. That is resurrection. And that is what we're going to have when we rise from the dead in the parousia. And so Mary Magdalene, you know, after finding that the tomb was empty, went on their way, apparently to report to the apostles what had happened. And Jesus met them along the way and greeted them. And so, of course, they were overjoyed. You know, they prostrate themselves. And this very interesting instruction: go tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me. To those of you who have been to the Holy Land, Galilee is in the northern part of the country, and it's a beautiful part of Israel. It's very green, and of course, in that area is where the Sea of Galilee is, another beautiful spot of that particular region. That's Galilee, and that's home for everybody, even for Jesus. That's their home. And so essentially what the Lord is saying is, go back to Galilee. I know these days has been challenging, even terrifying. Let's go home. Let's go home and be nurtured there. Let's go to that place closest to our heart, and there you will see me. Matthew is trying to underline something here for all of us who are hearing this news now. The resurrected Lord is found in the hearts of everyone. He is very near us. We don't need to go to Fatima or to Lourdes or to Rome. It's wonderful to go there. But the first place where we look for the risen Lord is in our hearts. What does this mean? Well, it means to rid ourselves of all of the noise, of all of the clutter that's in our hearts. And those could be our sinful behavior, our sinful tendencies. Remove all of those with the help of the Holy Spirit, and then enthrone there the resurrected Christ, and commune there in the homes of our hearts with the resurrected Lord. How does one commune with the resurrected Lord in one's heart? Spend time in prayer. Spend time in prayer. You know our practice in Lent of emphasizing prayer. Let's continue to have that attitude and that that practice. Commit ourselves to daily prayer, at least 20 minutes. That's not much. How else? Well, nurture that home where we enthrone the resurrected Lord with the sacraments. What you're doing now is a wonderful practice of nurturing that place where we encounter the Lord. The Eucharist as often as we can. And then, of course, the sacrament of reconciliation at least once a month. In this, we nurture our own Galilee. In this, we nurture that place in our hearts where we encounter the risen Lord. And notice how to encounter the risen Lord is an act of faith. No one will compel you to believe. You must believe. No, no, you're free. You're free to bow down, just like these women, to bow down and worship the resurrected Lord of your own free will. Of course, the church gives us testimonies, credible testimony of why one must believe in the Lord. The beautiful liturgy that we have in the Easter Triduum, especially in the Easter Vigil, that's a testimony that the Lord is risen. But it will not compel you to believe. It's an act of faith that we do in our own free will, in our own personal actions. Contrast that now with the others in this particular account. The guards, the Sanhedrin. The tomb was there. Credible testimony that he's risen from the dead. It couldn't be that the body was stolen, because as we know, the linen were neatly folded, separating the linen covering the head with that covering the body. They were neatly folded. What kind of thief who's working in very short amount of time to steal the body would care to neatly fold everything? That's a testimony there. But they chose not to believe. And so, my friends, today we are being challenged. And certainly, we all believe the resurrection. But do we believe also the victory that is ours because the Lord is risen from the dead? May we, like Mary, like John and the other Mary and Saint Peter, bow down to the risen Lord, and in communing with him and encountering him in the Galilee of our hearts, know what it is to live the resurrection life.